The Drum Candy Podcast is brought to you by Drum Factory Direct.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into episode 4 of season 6 of the Drum Candy Podcast. This is your host, Mike Dawson, coming to you from Drum Factory Direct in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. In this week's episode, I want to discuss how to tune toms, or more specifically, how to explore the toms that you already own. Before we dig into that, reminder that if you're in the Pittsburgh area, Cleveland area, Columbus area, on April 28th, Carter McLean is coming to town and we are hosting, co-hosting a 2-hour masterclass plus a 1-hour hang over at Hawthorne Drum Shop in partnership with the Pennsylvania chapter of the Percussive Arts Society. I believe we still have a handful of tickets left, so you can go to Hawthorne Drum Shop's website or go to Eventbrite and search for Carter McLean and you'll find it. It is $99 a seat. It's going to be real up close and personal. You'll probably play for him if you want. You don't have to. We're also giving away, we're going to do a raffle for a really killer 20-inch Istanbul egg-up ride cymbal and some various other swag. So if you want to come and you're in the area, make sure you get your ticket now. Also, last week when I was talking about developing independence over various right-hand patterns, I mistakenly called the jazz ride pattern a 2-bar pattern. I meant 2-beat pattern. So if any of you have been thinking for the past week, Mike's an idiot, maybe I am, but it was just I just misspoke. The jazz ride pattern is a 2-beat pattern, which is why I don't recommend starting with that when you're first exploring, you know, 2-limb independence. All right, now that that's clear, let's see how many mistakes I can make when we're tuning this tom-tom. What I have here is probably early 90s or late 80s Pearl Forum rack tom. It's a power tom, a 12-inch tom. Pretty sure this is cheap. Philippine Luan mahogany shell. So this is an entry-level drum. I put on two single-ply clear DFD 10 mil heads. So it's just a standard 10 mil clear head. By the way, if you need cheap, decent quality drum heads for your practice kit or your teaching studio, check out the DFD house brand stuff. It's good quality stuff. We even have some Mylar versions that hold up really well. They're really nice. They sound good. They're perfect for, I mean, maybe I wouldn't like tour with them, but just for everyday use, you can't beat the price and they definitely sound good. So that's what we have on here. Two 10 mil single ply clear heads on this Pearl Forum 12-inch rack tom. So the first step for me is to find out what the lowest note that this drum could do. You could do this on any drum. Seems like 12-inch rack toms, are usually the easiest because they have the widest tuning range to start with. It's also just a smaller drum, so it's easier for me to manipulate on video here. I want to find the lowest possible pitch for this drum. How do I find that? First of all the tension rods are finger tight on top and bottom. What does that mean? I grab the threading on the tension rod between my thumb and index finger and just twist it until I can't tighten it anymore. And I do opposite sides. So I'll do two at a time on opposite sides of the shell. And then once I can't get any more tension, just using my thumb and index finger, that is finger tight. You don't have to go crazy trying to really crank it with your finger here. Just want to get the tension rod to make contact with the hoop so it's not rattling around and the head is somewhat stable. So that is finger tight. The drum's not going to sound good. Let's take a listen to it. I mean, it's not terrible. It's an interesting sound. You could use that for special effects. One of my favorite kind of avant-garde jazz drummers, Elliot Umberto Cavi, tunes his floor tom basically like that, and it's a cool special effects sound. But we're going to just not keep it there. We're going to try to find the lowest note that the drum can produce that doesn't have all that distortion. So the best way to do that is to apply some pressure in the center of the head with your index finger. And you'll see all these wrinkles start to form around. What does that mean? That means that the drum head is not tight enough to maintain a seal with the bearing edge. So that's when I take my tuning kit. While I'm pushing with one finger, with the other hand, I just add a little bit, probably like 1/8 of a turn all the way around. until those wrinkles go away. Just above the point where it wrinkles. Sometimes you got to go up and down to kind of see exactly where does it start to wrinkle. But it's usually not much tension. 3/4 of a turn, half a turn above finger tight. All right, so I want to go around. I can still see, and some it also helps to, if you press, kind of like push with your finger near the bearing edge, you can hear, like right there, you can hear it's kind of flappy. So this side of the drum needs more tension. Again, we're just trying to get the drum head to make even contact with the bearing edge. We're not worried about pitch or any of that kind of stuff yet. So I think you can still hear a little distortion there. This is where the quality of your drum, how flat are the bearing edges? Because if you have a wavy bearing edge, you're going to have wrinkles. You're going to have to put way too much tension on the drum to get rid of the wrinkles. All right, now that I've gotten rid of the wrinkles, I go around while still pressing and kind of detune and retune each lug just to the point where those wrinkles go away. So now I really know that each tension rod is only has enough tension to remove those wrinkles. All right, so that's one side. Flip the drum over, just repeat the process. Press in the center, add little bits of tension all the way around. No more than 1/4 turn at this stage. Like I said, it doesn't take a ton of tension if the bearing edge is decent to get those wrinkles to go away. Now I'm already at the phase where I'm checking each one. Wrinkles are gone, wrinkles are gone, wrinkles come back and they're gone. It looks like all the wrinkles are gone. Now I press around. Still sounds a little distorted right there. It's probably a hot spot on the bearing edge. Okay. Now, without even checking the note of the either head or any fine tuning, this is tuned as low as this drum can possibly go. So let's take a listen. Again, I didn't do any fine tuning whatsoever, but just the fact that the both drum heads are making good contact with the bearing edge all the way around, we got a pretty good sound. So I think for like big rock stuff, that could work. I don't need to get super particular at this point. That kind of works. I want big, thuddy, punchy, boomy drums. That kind of gets me there without even thinking about what the pitch relationship is. So if you're dealing with like maybe a backline kit or like a studio kit or rehearsal kit that just doesn't, and you want a big beefy sound, take it back to this, as low as it can go, just to where the wrinkles are gone. It took how long? A couple minutes? You probably can get the drum good enough for what you need with that, and you can just adjust the pitch if you need to. So that's the next step. We're going to leave the top head. I don't even know which one's the top head. Yeah, this is the top head. We're going to leave it where it is so that this head's going to stay at its lowest possible note, and we're going to add 1/8 of a turn of tension on each lug on the bottom and listen to it and see what it does to the drum. And we're going to kind of make notes, mental notes, or actually write them down if you're particular. Where does the drum sound good? Like which spot when I add some tension to the bottom sounds good, maybe not so good. We're trying to find the full range by just adjusting the bottom head first. So let's take it up. I'm gonna do 1/8 of a turn. You know what, before I do that, let's just find out what note this drum is sitting at its lowest possible pitch. That's a pretty pure E second octave, 84 hertz. So you could write that on the drum head if you need to, just something so you know, like that's the lowest note that this drum can possibly do. So if I'm playing a song and I want to get real particular about tuning the toms to match the key or something like that, and I want something in the second octave and it needs to be lower than the E, this drum is never going to get you there. You got to go to a 13 or something else. So we know it's lowest note. Now let's add that eighth of a turn tension on the bottom only. Having done this a million times, it's never completely predictable, but usually eighth of a turn to a quarter of a turn is about a half step. So let's see. So that was an E. Let's see how close we are to an F. It's darn near a perfect F. So just an eighth of a turn higher on the bottom. I don't even know where the two heads were in relationship to one another, but I know from just above wrinkles, adding an eighth of a turn extra tension on the bottom brought it up a half step. So let's see if theoretically we do another eighth turn on each tension rod. 3, 4, 5, 6. Let's see if this took us up to an F sharp. F sharp. And it still sounds good. So I think we can keep going. So we're trying to find where do they get it so far out of balance that the drum no longer sounds good. I think it still sounds pretty good. You get a little bit of pitch bend. All right, so we went up another eighth of a turn. Let's see what we got. It's a G. We're starting to get a little bit of, you can hear that they're out of balance, but still serviceable. I'm going to go another turn. I'm going to imagine that it might give us a G sharp. It might not be the quality of sound that we would want for a G sharp, but you could be surprised. Sometimes there's little magic ratios that you have to push past the bad stuff first. So here's another eighth turn. That's a G sharp. It's not bad. I'm starting to hear the bottom head. So if you listen to the sustain, even so, I hit the drum and dampened it initially, like right away, like I'm playing timpani. You're hearing the bottom head resonate. So if you don't like that, you could dampen the bottom head a little bit. Sometimes it's more important to dampen the bottom head. Like if you like the feel and the pitch of the drum tune this way, you like this G sharp, but you like the batter head to be lower and you're cranking the bottom head a bit, but you're getting that overring. Instead of dampening the top head, which is only going to make it worse because it's actually coming from the bottom head, you might want to put a little bit of tape or something on the bottom. So I'm just going to, touch it with a couple of my fingertips to kind of mimic a bit of tape. And that kind of gets rid of it. So it still sounds good. I'm going to go up another eighth of a turn. So that was G sharp. So we've already gotten a major third out of this just by tightening up the bottom head. The batter head is still basically just past finger tight to where the wrinkles are gone. All right, let's see if we can squeak an A out of this thing. That's a pretty flat A, which is a sign to me that the bottom head has probably reached its max. It feels like I'm putting a bunch of tension. I'm putting like just a little bit more, not even an eighth, 16th of a turn, just to see if we can get that A out of this drum. There it is. I don't know how it's translating to you, but to me, it still sounds good. I could still use this. So I'm getting a fourth of range out of this 12-inch rack tom by only adjusting the bottom drum head. Kept the top head just to where the wrinkles are gone. Didn't touch it at all. Added a little bit of tension to the bottom head, eighth of a turn up. I was able to get a fourth. So again, if you'd like the feel of a soft batter head, but you need to get a higher pitch, you have a bit of range there on most drums. This is a cheap old Pearl Forum drum. I mean, they're good drums for what they are, but a fourth is a lot of range. It also, so what you're hearing now, in addition to that bottom head overring a little bit, you're also hearing that the sustain and decay is a lot faster. So a good way to get your toms to not ring for days is to have a wider interval between top and bottom head. In this case, the bottom head is quite a bit tighter than the top. That's going to shorten that decay and that sustain. That's always a good thing, especially if you're close miking your drums. I think that's why, I haven't asked anyone this, but I think that's why often touring drummers who play, you know, big stages with huge systems, where oftentimes they're gating drums to kind of stop them from ringing. I found that oftentimes they're like a third or a fourth interval between the top and bottom head. For that very reason, it's kind of like a natural gate. Listen to the length of it.
Forks Drum Closet, Nashville's full-line drum store. Celebrating its 40th year in business, Forks is independently owned and operated in the heart of Music City. Specializing in drums and percussion, Forks offers great discounts on all major brands and will beat any retailer's advertised price. From new and used equipment, vintage drums, and marching and orchestral instruments, Forks has something for every drummer. They also offer professional rental, repair, and restoration services, as well as drum lessons. Stop by their storefront at 308 Chestnut Street in Nashville, Tennessee, or call 615-383-8343, or go online at forksdrumcloset.com.
It dies down quick, so you're still getting like a beefy, fat sound with the attack because of the lower batter head. The pitch is higher, so that gets out of the rumbly range, but also that decay is shortened. So there's all these factors that come into play when you're tuning your drums that you have to know. So that's why I suggest exploring your drums in this manner, the full range, so you kind of discover what happens. Not only does the pitch change, and maybe the purity of the fundamental note can be altered with some pitch bend up and down, but you're also dealing with attack and sustain relationships. If these are exactly the same, tuned exactly the same, you're going to get the longest possible sustain as possible, you know, that the drum will produce with those heads on it. Sometimes you want that, like with these old Ludwig toms I have here. They're generally a pretty muted, pretty dead sounding drum, so I just tune top and bottom head to the same note most of the time to maximize what they can produce because they have a natural shorter decay. A drum like this Forum, which has sharper bearing edges, straight shell with no re-rings, it's going to naturally produce a much longer, brighter sound. So if you tune the heads exactly the same, it's going to sustain for even longer, which in most cases is not what you want. If you're dealing with microphones, if you're looking for maximum projection and cut with no mics, tune them to the same pitch, maybe a little bit higher than what you think. They get even more cut and projection, and they'll sound great. If you're going to put close mics on it, if you're recording, you don't want your kit to be humming and just having a constant noise of sympathetic vibrations. Tune the bottom head higher than the batter. Or the opposite. If you like a really tight batter head for rebound, but you wanted a bit of a deeper sound out of it, do the opposite. Tighten the batter head and detune the bottom head. So let's do that. I want to take the top head up quite a bit. Maybe I'll match them. So I'm going to find out what the note of the bottom head is now. I'm going to match the top head to that. And then I'm going to start detuning the bottom head to see if we can get some like extra kind of fatness and depth, even though the top head is tight. So bear with me. I'm going to tune up this top head. First, I'm going to find out what the pitch of the bottom head is, and then I'm going to match it with the top. So flip the drum over, dampen the bottom, what is the top head, but it's now on the bottom, dampen it so we can get a note here, a reference. What do we got here? Hang on, my tuner is frozen. Put the batteries back in. Okay, so this tight bottom head, 261 hertz, C fourth octave, which is up there with like snare drum tuning. It's like a low, medium low snare drum, or medium. All right, 260, yes, is 124. So we gotta go quite a bit. I'm gonna do quarter turns, star pattern. Normally I would use two keys, but since I have a mallet in the other hand, I'm just using one. All right, still gonna go quite a bit up, another quarter turn. Let's see. Almost there, that's B flat. So another quarter turn. Should probably get us to our C. Pretty darn close, 260. All right, so now both heads are tuned to the same note. Pretty high. I would say this is getting to bebop land. So by comparison, this is tuned like bebop style. That's an F. It's still higher than where we're at here. Actually sounds like it would make a good second tom for this kit. I'm not going to try to go up to that bebop tuning. We know that this is a high tuning. The bottom head was basically as high as it would go before it really started, before it like stopped making a huge difference. That's where we're going to start. This is both heads the same note, longest, purest note at this tension. That's a D third octave. Now I'm going to detune just the bottom head, eighth of a turn, and see what happens. See if it gives us the same half step adjustment each time. All right, so if that's the case, this should be a C sharp. Didn't make that much of a difference, almost, but it's a flat D instead of a C sharp. So we'll go another eighth of a turn. So adjusting the bottom head is proving when the top head is tight is not having as drastic of an effect as when the top head was loose and we were tightening the bottom head. All right, that took us down to the C sharp. Now listen to that again. That's a totally different character than when the top head was loose and the bottom head was tight. It's got a lot more bark to it. It sounds more like timpani or something. Like there's something going on there in the timbre of the drum. It's very different than when we had the top head loose and the bottom head tight. To me, that felt like you were getting pure kind of like rich tone with a higher note and a short decay. Now we're getting this kind of complex, kind of earthy bark that can be really fun. So, like, I think of, if you're a fan of jazz drummers, Ed Blackwell. I think his drum sound is kind of signature in this way. It's like high pitches, but there's this kind of like just guttural kind of growl to his drums. I've never got to see his drums up close and personal. My guess is that the bottom head is lower than the top. So that gave us that kind of growl. We're gonna go another eighth, almost a quarter, just to kind of speed up the process here. All right, let's see what we got. So now we're down to a B, second octave, but it still has that brightness, that kind of, that bite. But you can hear it going down, the pitch goes down and comes back up. It like dips and comes back up. Totally different timbre. Not something you would use on, you know, pop country records or something, but if you're looking for something that's just kind of more vibey and a bit weird, this might be something to try with your drums. And you can still, I can still play, you know, bounces on this. Almost reminds me a bit of some like West African drums or something. So again, explore your drums, try the extremes, and then find what could work for different things. If you just need a perfectly pure drum, tune them both to the same note, kind of medium, medium low, and it's going to be that quintessential studio sound. But if you need just something a little bit weirder, a little more interesting, a little bit more kind of creative, start messing with that relationship. All right, so now the batter head in the bottom head is like almost as low as it can go, and the batter head is still tight. I'm literally feeling the air now when I hit this drum. I'm feeling it go like down and back up. I'm feeling it push through the drum and then come back. So that's also another concept of if you want the drums to push the air away versus the feeling of it coming back at you, a lower bottom head gives you that effect. I can feel it, like the air volume is going down away from the drum. It's kind of throwing the sound versus having it reflect back at me. So this might not be useful. But it is definitely a vibe that is totally different than where we started. I'm going to stop there. Really, you could spend hours by just taking one, you know, take this batter head down an eighth of a turn and then do the whole process with the bottom head again, up and back down again, and just find out where your drums sing, where they kind of open up, where they might give you something more interesting and unique. To give you just different effects, and also just make a note of what's the pitch range, so you literally know, like, this drum sounds good between these pitches, regardless if the top is tighter or looser than the bottom. So then you can kind of have your, you know, if you have a bunch of toms, like say you have a 12, 13, 16, you know which rack tom you might need for certain things. If you need it to sit in a, you know, this fourth of a register, you'll know better of like which, you know, which drum to use. I do that often. I might pull out a 12 if I need something to go higher, 13 if I need to be lower, a 10 if I just need that, doom, that's kind of all a 10 does. But Have fun, explore your drums, try a bunch of different things. Don't be afraid to make it sound bad, because on the other side of that, there'll probably be something cool. You can't break it. And also, get some of these DFD heads. These are the 10 mil. We have coated and clear. We also have double ply. If you just need something to experiment with, because you can, you know, if you end up overstretching it or denting it because it's super low, they're not super expensive. So it's a good way to practice. Just get some of these cheap heads. I suggest the single ply clear to experiment with, because you have no other factors, no coating or built-in muffling to kind of sway the way the drum responds. So just discover what your drum can do, and then you can experiment with different heads and see what happens with the two-ply on top. Does it affect the range, or does it just affect the overtones? You know, all that stuff we can kind of return to and revisit. But that's the quick down and dirty, how to tune toms, or how to explore your own rack toms. That's it for this week's episode. Hope you learned something and maybe been inspired to explore your drums a little bit more. Don't just get locked into one way of doing things. The drum can sound various different ways depending on how you tune it, what head you have on it, what the drum is. It doesn't have to be a super pro drum to get super pro sounds. It doesn't have to be a super old vintage drum to get super old vintage vibey sounds. They all can do it to a different degree. So have fun experimenting. If you do like the show, make sure you give us a 5-star rating and write a review over on your podcast app. If you're only listening to this in audio, make sure you go check out our YouTube channel. Hit me up at drumcandypodcast@gmail.com with any questions, complaints, requests, and we'll see you next week.